the Strokes and last night. We just had a call, didn't we? From Johnny Mango.
Oh yeah, Johnny Mango, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, old the Mangster. And he informed me that one of the Wurzels is dead, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, Adge Cutler, who was the lead man, I think.
Yeah. He said he died the most rock and roll death you can die. He said he was apparently driving and on a terrible cocktail of cider and other things, presumably.
Yeah.
Apples and jams.
Yeah.
And he crashed into a tractor. Now, I wonder, is that true?
Who knows?
JM's not winding me up.
Yeah,
I hope the Mango Boy's not having a laugh at me. Is that true? One of the Wurzels died by tractor. is that true? So give us a call. What's the number again, Carl?
08700 800 1234.
If so, I'm sorry that I disrespected them. I didn't know.
Could you imagine?
Oh God.
If right, say if like you're the driver of the tractor, and you kill someone, you go, oh God, I've killed someone.
Mm.
And then you look and it's someone famous.
Yeah, or Adge Cutler. Yeah, go on, what was your point?
No, it's just like, not
terrifying,
only,
yeah.
It's like you've killed someone, then you look.
But I've I know what you mean,
and what makes it even worse? And what makes it even worse, they were rich.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, but
be...
say if it was someone who's like really big in the world.
No, that is a good, I quite like that, it's an interesting point there.
Oh, that's your bag, no wonder I can't find what I'm looking for.
Oh, right, well.
As Bono said.
Did you bring a bag?
Yeah.
Is that under there, Rick?
Sorry about this. I'm not ignoring.
This is getting a bit sloppy. No,
no, no, no, it's not. No.
It is, Rick. It's getting sloppy.
It's never got sloppy before. No, I've got a list here because we went to this award ceremony in the week. We were up for an award.
Well, I have to explain it to Carl because basically we were up for an award and it's called the TRIC Awards. Now, TRIC stands for Television and Radio Industries Club Annual Awards. Right?
We've never heard of it either.
We've never heard of it. It's some kind of like television radio industry club.
Right. That's the clue, isn't it? Yeah.
So, but we don't want to. I'm not trying to slag off the award because it was, you know, it was a big thing and they really made an effort and it was really nice. Food was brilliant. It was at the Grosvenor House Hotel, really nice do, and you know, lots of industry people in that there. It was really classy.
We got there nice and early, so you know, we were there for a good 4 hours
before we had to sit down. And but it was just kind of surreal. It was just a bit weird because it was packed with the cream. I mean, literally the cream. Big names, you know, Martin Kemp, one of the first people I saw, you know, came in like big TV radio industry names, on screen talent, behind the scenes. People.
John Barnes.
Barnes was there.
Beadle was there.
Sir Cliff Richard was there.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so the voice comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the chairman of the
president.
The president of the TRIC Awards. And we had to stand up, all of these people had to stand up and give a standing ovation as he walked to his table to Tom O'Connor, former presenter of Crosswits.
You are joking.
No.
He's the president.
And he came out, he told a few gags, sort of like, it was like straight away, it was. You know, old school stuff. You want to thank the ladies? Because, you know, it was nothing without the ladies. All the lovely ladies here. And we're waiting for a joke? No. just thanking the ladies.
Well, you're forgetting that just prior to that, he said grace.
Oh, he said grace.
Before we ate.
Right? It was me, Steve, and Ash, you know, our producer, the little disabled fella. Right? And he's there in his wheelchair, and there's me and Steve. We're, you know, we're standing up during
grace.
Wait,
can I just stop you there?
Go on.
Saw someone in the week, and...
sorry, did we bore you?
No. You just reminded me then about the
go
little
on.
Producer who was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Last week you said, blah, 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 and our producer who's in a wheelchair got a text from someone saying, what's happened to you? They thought you were talking about me.
Oh, really? Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh.
You're handicapped in a different way.
So, go on.
And, Tom O'Connor, he said, thank you, God, for...
We thought this was a joke, initially. We thought it was going to be, like, a kind of cheeky gag.
That's why we were laughing.
That's why we were laughing raucously.
But anyway. And then he went, thank you, God, for this. And help those who walk alone. And Ash went, what about those that don't walk at all? He said, I've never been left out of grace before.
So, but we had to like, kind of, like, bowed our heads slightly, you know, and... did we say amen? I know that we were sort of... A lot of people did.
I'm pretty sure
Cliff,
I didn't.
I think, probably chimed in there.
Yeah, and he sang it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like Mariah Carey.
So anyway, so but before again, you see what Ricky's forgotten is before Tom took to the stage, this guy walks up there. I don't know who he is. Says there's a lot of people here this afternoon. You know, it's a wonderful event. But of course, there's a load of celebrities as well.
He said, "Thank you for all the celebrities that have turned up," and then he went, "Table 77." Mr. Russ Abbott,
and we all round of applause.
Can we have the spotlight there?
Russ Abbott, by the way, smoking a pipe. Absolutely brilliant. He looked like a bit like Barrett Holmes, the hilarious Sherlock Holmes character.
Then he went, table 107, the cast of Bad Girls. Clap.
We'll have to clap.
And then he went, table five, Alice Beer. Clap.
Slightly smaller clapping.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, and I thought, when is this gonna-
He went through every single celebrity in the room.
And there were about, you know, 100.
Table 53, John Inman, everyone! It's John Inman, round of applause.
Yeah, yeah, and, table 70, Mr. Simon Cowell. Boo.
Yeah, there was booing there.
And they all booed him.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was a joke. Ironic booing, I think.
Could they cheer for Foxy? Was he on the table?
We didn't see Foxy.
Foxy wasn't there. He was doing his show. When they went up, they won an award, Cowell and, Waterman and Chapman.
Table 43. Peter Sissons, everyone. Peter Sissons. Went through every single name. Ricky got so paranoid they might mention him that we kind of legged it upstairs and were watching from the balconies. They shone the spotlight on our table.
Empty
chairs.
Yes.
Really empty. That was particularly fun. But, then at the end, Sir Cliff got up there, right, because Sir Cliff was giving out the Lifetime Achievement Award, right, he gets up, he uses this speech, he goes, oh, this is a personal friend of mine, a 7 days a week friend, Lifetime Achievement Award goes to Mrs. Gloria Hunniford, right, we immediately start thinking what exactly were her Lifetime Achievements.
I think living that long.
That's pretty much it. I don't know what it is she's done, Gloria Hunniford.
I can tell you what she
does. I don't exactly, you know, I know she's done Radio 2, so I don't think that's
anymore. We're not dissing her, we're not dissing anyone. Good luck to her. We're not taking the mick out of anyone, but, you know.
But anyway,
it was just a strange event.
But Gloria got taken unawares by this, and started to ad-lib a speech, right, and I swear to God, about 12 minutes in, she was telling us how, and I can repeat, I can tell you now if you're interested, her lovely daughter Karen is currently in Australia, it's partly work, it's partly a holiday, Carl, and she's having a whale of a time, but she's not spoken to her for ages.
And then she went, actually she's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was thought she was going, she doesn't call, you do that, you get a Blue Peter, and this is how she
We thought she was going to get photos out maybe, start showing it.
It was a nice event, and you know, everyone there, Henry Cooper was there. So Henry Cooper.
It was so good because every single element as well was sponsored by someone.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the menu, I've got the programme here, and the menu, right, the pudding is sponsored by Electrolux.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a pudding sponsored by Electrolux.
I was sponsored by Zanussi.
When everyone was doing the prayers, did you look at them with their eyes shut? like you did at school?
What do you mean?
Did you
look at someone with your eyes shut?
No, like, you'd do that, you'd do your hands together.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you sort of look at people with their eyes shut and think that's what they look like when they're sleeping.
Play record.
Didn't you ever do that?
Table 60. Lisa Tarbuck. That's that corner shop. Lessons learned from Rocky 1 to Rocky. I love that guitar. That's great. It's real glam rocky. That's T-Rex and Bowie. I was going to play some from Ziggy Stardust today, but instead I brought in a different album. I want to play a bit of Bowie. Is that all right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, always.
Yeah,
always.
Bit of Beatles. Mm. Still to come up, by the way. We with the education of Carl, last week he did Che Guevara. He did very well.
Yeah.
Before that, the week before that, you learned all about Rasputin, didn't you? And this week you've been studying Hitler, haven't you? How does that go? How do you reckon that?
It's a bit tough.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you the full story later, Steve. Do you know much about him?
No.
So, they're all linked, all these stories I've been reading, they've all got a similar sort of thing going through them. They're born, they have a bit of a tough upbringing. Things aren't going well. And they seem to take it out on other people.
Okay.
But I'll tell you more later.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Hitler and Che Guevara...
It's the same thing. Che Guevara, when he was a kid...
Yeah.
...had, like, asthma. Yeah. Right? He wasn't an happy kid. Hitler,
He only had one ball.
Well, I was trying to find about that.
Yeah. Seriously, he phoned me up in the week. I said, how's it going? He went, I've just skimmed it. I was looking for the testicle thing. Now, I don't know if they left that out, or it's not true.
Right.
He was trying to look up that Hitler has only got one ball.
I think they only did it to wind him up. Because it's like, you know, yeah, you might be taking over the world, but we're all saying you've only got one testicle.
Sure.
And it's not obnoxious.
Did you look in the index and it's sort of Hitler, Adolf, family life, early childhood, testicles? Testicles, absence of.
Sort of skimmed through, because...
One of. Yeah. Mother... Brackets other.
Yeah.
Well, Albert Hall.
Yeah.
The only thing I could find was at one point in like when he was trying to run the place, there was a meeting going on and somebody put a bag in the meeting room and it blew up.
Yeah.
And
but
I'm wondering whether it was under the table. Yeah, but
you're wondering if it blew a testicle.
It was the testicle was under the table.
No, the bag blew off the ball.
No, the ball sack was probably hanging below the protective top, and so that's where he could have lost.
But why would he have only just lost the one?
Because
the way we're sitting.
Cross-legged or something.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Well, I mean, again, if, I mean, last week we had a Che Guevara expert who phoned up. Maybe they could, maybe there's a Hitler expert this time who could maybe phone up and confirm the testicle, theory.
Yeah.
What's the number again, Carl?
Oh wait, 700-800-1234.
You need to have at least had a PhD or something.
I don't think we should invite calls about Hitler. I think we're asking for trouble.
No, I'm talking about someone who's done a study of him and who's done a PhD.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about any old nutter.
And also, Carl's lottery numbers. He's a little bit more confident this week.
Okay, good.
He went there more like it. And I looked at him and I laughed. He went, no, no, even Suzanne said I'm more on the right lines there. Is there anyone who, has done a degree in maths or A-level maths that can bear- Carl won't believe this, right? Carl thinks, I was partly doing it to confuse him, just see that look on his face like a cat, right? But there is, the chances with a random numbers, for example the lottery, of getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are no greater than any other single combination.
Right.
Now that's true. I don't mean you're more likely to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 than any other combination put together, but then any other individual combination, they're all equal. It's counterintuitive, I know. I know you think that to get a run of 1 to 6 is less likely than anything else, but it's not. Any named combination, it's not, Carl. If there's a probability-
Well, it's never happened. Yeah, it's never happened.
Yeah, but there's any number of combinations that have
never happened. Every one of those combinations that have come up, have happened, and they're just as likely or unlikely as any other combination, right? Mm. It's just that you feel intuitively, right, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are is less likely than 1, 7, 12, 34, 60. You know what I mean?
Well, I didn't win.
Play record.
Okay.
Wu-Tang Clan, Uzi, on XFM 104.9. Well, here we are, the day before St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, hooray! Brilliant!
Guinness, etc.
I hate British English people, I should say, who are obsessed with celebrating St. Patrick's Day. You know, not crazy, it's like Chris Evans used to rave on about it. We're going to Dublin, we're going to get drunk, wow. It's like, it means nothing
I
to me.
I think
English
XFM
people,
just did that, to be
well,
honest.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just as bad.
Careful. Careful, they are our employers. You don't want to annoy him. What would we do without this?
Well, that's true. Yeah, have an enjoyable Saturday.
No, this is my favourite 2 hours. You like this, don't you?
Well, I don't know.
We can't do this through May and June.
No, we'll be gone.
We've got to record the second series of The Office. What are we going to do, Carl? What are you going to do on a Saturday?
Host a show yourself?
Doing it on my own. Yeah.
You are not.
Are you seriously thinking of it? Have they asked
made
you, to do
you
it?
Everything you like.
Why would you not think about it?
Because I've been there, done that.
Next challenge, please.
Yeah. Oh dear! Do you know what St. Patrick did? Why he was revered as a saint and everything? What was he famous for in Ireland? He rid Ireland of something.
I don't know, but I bet he started off with something odd happening in his life.
What, you think he had asthma or something as a kid?
they all do.
And he took it out on what though?
What did he do? Exactly? He took it out on something. What did he do? What did he rid Ireland of?
St. Patrick.
St. Patrick.
This is why we're gonna get crazy and drunk tomorrow. This is why we're all so happy to celebrate his, anniversary, or whatever it is we're celebrating.
That's why we have a crack.
Yeah, this is why we don't bother to celebrate, you know, the birthdays of James Joyce, you know, one of the great novelists of this century, or Samuel Beckett, one of the great playwrights. We actually celebrate this man, St. Patrick, the man who did what?
Don't diss him, he did a good job of it as well, because there's none there now. There are none of these in Ireland. So... He rid Ireland of something.
Come on, Carl. Think of something. Just give us an answer. What's
he went round on a horse whacking them and...
He went on a horse whacking them?
Yeah.
What was it, Carl?
What did he rid Ireland of?
Went on a horse. Foxes.
I don't know. No, you're on the right lines.
On the right lines. It was an animal.
Oh. Bears.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was bears.
Wow! It was snakes.
Right.
And there are no snakes in Ireland.
He rid Ireland of all the snakes.
Yeah.
Who did it here then? Because there isn't that many.
Well, I think he had a stab at it over here as well, but got tired and went back.
Yeah.
That's why there's just a few snakes here. Is it true that there are no snakes in Ireland?
I think it is. I think if someone called it...
Is there any historical evidence for St. Patrick ridding them of... I mean, how did he do it? Was it like the Pied Piper?
See, I'm not convinced that... He did go around killing snakes, but there are no snakes
really?
In Ireland, and that's, yeah. I don't think he is now. If someone knows he is now, so we had a few probability experts and statisticians and maths graduates confirming that indeed I was correct, that the probability of 1 to 6 in a row is no more or less likely than any other single combination in a totally random selection of balls. Which brings us back to Hitler, doesn't it? Because he only had one, didn't he?
Well,
but coming up, we'll be asking Carl all about Hitler, the education of Carl. He's done Rasputin, he's done Che Guevara.
Plus, of course, White Van Carl, where we
White
asked Carl some of the, you know, his opinions on some of the hot potatoes of the week.
You learned as you go along, because you've got something about St. Patrick there.
Yeah.
That was thrown in for free, that was an extra...
I'll learn you something, eh? Snakes.
Well, can I just stop you there, and I'll teach you something, right?
Go on, then.
You don't learn someone something, you teach them something.
Yeah.
One's passive.
You
learn.
Ricky, sorry, mate, but I don't think you should be teaching people how to speak or use grammar. I just don't think it's appropriate. It's embarrassing, frankly. Because there's so many errors that you're making. It's like, where to start with you?
Snakes, right? You're talking about snakes.
Yeah.
A lot of snakes are born with two heads. It's like a familiar type thing that happens to snakes.
Okay, yeah. They take it for granted, don't they?
Right. Snakes born two heads, they'll fight each other for food, even though it's going in the same body.
Isn't that weird?
Hmm.
Were there kids at school that you went who had two heads?
The snake
that?
Twins
yeah.
from Moseley. Oh,
was there kids at your school with two heads, was that right? What?
No, they had big heads.
Oh, they had big heads.
And webbed hands, but they weren't related. And they weren't friends, because that would have been too obvious,
yeah.
he said.
Yeah.
Oh, Steve, listen, before you came in, right? I sneezed a couple of times, and if I'm allergic to them, I've still got a bit of a cold. And I said, oh God, he went, bloody hell, I was like, sorry. And he went, you know you can't sneeze with your eyes open? I went, yeah. And then he was obviously thinking to himself still, and after a pause he went, would your eyes really fly out? And I started laughing, he went, no, because that, has anyone ever done that, do you think? Has anyone ever held someone down, torturing them, and held their eyelids open and gave them pepper and see if their eyes would fly out? And he said, and then he went, I'm just looking at him again, the silence, and then he went, of his own accord, he just went, I can't see it happening.
Your song here, Ricky.
Oh, this, Bowie, Sorrow, beautiful. Sorrow by David Bowie. I've got that on a compilation today, but I think it's originally off the Pin-Ups album, the one we did all the covers, because he didn't write that, did he? That was the one with him and Twiggy on the front cover, isn't it?
Right.
I haven't had that for ages. I haven't got that. So,
sorry, you lost me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you reading a book there?
No, I was just reading the brochure there, the programme, if you will, for the Television and Radio Industries Club Awards that we went to. Incidentally, we lost.
Mm. We lost to Linda Green.
Yeah, we didn't win an award.
The best comedy.
But you might be interested to know that Tom O'Connor is in constant demand for corporate functions both here and abroad, and his client list includes many multinational companies. No mean golfer, Tom took the literary world by surprise in 1992 when his first humorous golf book, From the Wood to the Tees, made the bestseller list. I noticed it didn't take the literary world by storm.
No.
It took it by surprise.
They're going, we can't say storm. We've got to say by surprise. From behind.
But his first humorous golf book, From the Wood to the Tees, made the bestseller list. I don't know if that's just books about golf, that bestseller list. Subsequent successful books include One Flew Over the Clubhouse.
Brilliant. Genius.
Take a Funny Turn, Follow Me, I'm Right Behind You, and Eat Like a Horse, Drink Like a Fish.
Does it mention Celebrity Squares? Didn't he do that?
No.
He did, name that tune.
Crosswits. Once, right,
Crosswits. Do you remember Crosswits?
It was from the 80s.
It was like a crossword game show.
It was often with, Kate Copstick. But I saw one, right, it was on Challenge, TV being repeated. And, no, Andy Crane. Remember Andy Crane?
Yeah.
He was the link man, and he went, coming up next, Tom O'Connor with, Crosswits. With, in my opinion, one of the best Crosswits players of all time, John Junkin.
Oh. Who's your favourite Crosswits player?
It's got to be Junkin for me as well. But Copstick was
alright.
Barry
Cryer's bloody good.
Cryer was good. I watched Call My Bluff in the week.
Is this with Toxic and
Cryer? It was quite good. I quite enjoyed it.
I imagine you could get on there if you wanted.
I used to watch it with, what's his name? Frank Muir.
Yeah.
Frank Muir. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
You're brilliant impressions, because obviously while Bowie was playing, you were doing your infamous Bowie impression, which is the best one you do, actually.
Well, that's just because Carl said, you know what, he said, I'd love to go out for a drink with David Bowie. Of all the people that come in here for sessions, I think he's really good him. And I said, I think he'd like you as well. That's all, and I just went, hello, Carl. You're strange, you're alien. It interests me. Myself and Ian, I'd like to put you on there. Yeah, I just imagine you and Bowie in a pub somewhere.
Isn't that pretty much the same impression you do when you do Ian Canfield?
No. Ian Canfield's more like that. But not on air. On air, he's sort of like this sort of eloquent 40-year-old capital DJ.
Yeah. And, but when you talk to him in the studio,
he's slowly turning into Tommy Vance, isn't he? Mm. This is one of his pillars of rock, Canfield. He loves Vance, Lemmy, Diano.
If we run out of material later in the show, which is, you know, likely.
Yeah.
Considering we're now talking about Ian Canfield.
We ran out of it at 1:05.
Exactly. But could I maybe just sort of interview you as David Bowie?
Yeah,
in a sort of humorous sketch?
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Maybe it could be the idea that what if, like, David Bowie was, you know, a cab driver? What would he say? What were some of the funny things he would say?
What was that in when it said, Dead Ringers coming up? If you've ever wondered what,
did you see this? Dead Ringers is this impressionist show. It's on Radio 4 and they did a TV version.
Yeah, I saw it.
What did you make of it?
Didn't like it.
It was alright. No, it was just that the write-up in,
the Radio Times magazine
said, ever wondered what it'd be like if, Robbie Williams was singing George Formby? Or, what would it be like if, there was an animal hospital-
was hosted by, Anne Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have wondered. Were those two sketches on there last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were they like?
You are the weakest
dog skink.
No, what was it? It was something like they had to vote off an animal to die or something. It was something like that, yeah. It was
this is
right.
Flagging, quick, do your Bowie again.
Come in here. Look, it's Tim Machine. Now let's play Changes. Hello, Iggy Pop, you nutter. Stop cutting yourself. Travis, Flowers in the Window on XFM 104.9, 2 o'clock, halfway through. Oh, it's our favourite time, isn't it? Our favourite time of the week, where we come in here and play some records, have a chat.
Ricky, a lot of people are wondering who you are.
I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Hi.
And there's little Carl over there. Right. Steve, it's time for...
White Van Carl. We should definitely get some jingles. I think the show sort of lacks jingles, I think.
Yeah.
Noises. Yeah. Funny sound effects.
Yeah.
Wow! Yeah. What's Mr. Nosy Neighbour interested? Hello, what's going on here? Oh, we should definitely get some pre-recorded comedy noises, Carl.
Yeah, well, that's my job, but unfortunately I'm busy reading about Hitler.
For those that don't know and aren't familiar with this feature, basically The Sun runs a White Van Man column where it asks just people who, you know, every men and women, their views on news stories from the week, and we decided we'd just ask Carl his opinion on some of the same issues. This week...
Not like us to rip off another idea and just use
No,
but this time...
The White Van Man in the Sun this week is Herbie Crossman from Harrow in Middlesex.
Herbie.
And he's asked his opinion, Carl, and what's yours, on pop idol Will Young admitting he is gay. Come on, Carl.
I don't understand what the big deal is, to be honest.
Okay. No.
Talking to different people about it, and they've said, oh, it could affect the sales, you know, girls won't like him anymore, which I think is rubbish.
Yeah, because it finished George Michael's career, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and I was thinking when I was growing up, right?
And Freddie Mercury.
I was into Kim Wilde, right?
Sure.
Now...
And her kids.
You're not
going to
tell me she's gay, are you?
No, but if she was, if they said, oh, she's you know, a leser.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I wouldn't say, right, that's it, I'm taking kids in America back to the shop, I'm disgusted.
Sure.
I liked her.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to, like, meet her and marry her and that, so what does it matter?
Yeah.
Will Young, he's a good voice. He's gay, you know. A lot of gay people in the world.
Georgia boy was gay, I guess.
There you go.
Nothing more and nothing less. The kindest guy I ever knew.
So do your Bowie.
No big deal.
That's one of your favourite songs, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Killing of Georgie Parts 1 and 2, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you make of the police protesting to Parliament over reforms?
That's not the band, before you say.
Right, what's all that about?
Okay, well, the police have had various kind of gripes and grumbles which they've taken to Parliament, try and get them sorted.
Like what?
Well, it could take ages, basically.
They don't like the pointy helmets anymore. Yeah. They want flat caps.
They feel that their powers are restricted, they get a lot of bad press, they're not being paid well, they're under-resourced.
They actually demonstrated, didn't they, outside?
I think they may have done, yet.
Well, at least they're doing something about it instead of just sitting there moaning. You know what I mean? Okay. They're going to the top, trying to sort it out.
Yeah.
I admire that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you make of the police generally? Are they doing a good job?
They've woke me up a couple of times at about 4 a.m. when I was a kid.
Right, was that because they were looking at, for your brother in his tank?
Yeah! Did a Sherman tank just come through here?
Yeah.
No, my mates nicked cars and gave my name and all that.
Right. Were they friends of yours? Right.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you make of fears that dumped Britney Spears, she's been dumped by her boyfriend, there's worries that she may be cracking up, Carl? You concerned?
What are the signs?
I'm not entirely sure, I'm just reading from this section, but I would assume that she's obviously showed signs of depression, maybe?
She'll be alright. I remember, like, you know, Zoe Harris, when she sort of got bored of me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Get over it, I don't even think about her now.
and how long did it take you to get over
Zoe Harris?
How long did it take
you? To be honest, right, it was like one of my first girlfriends, and she was a pain. I remember, I went out with her, because she wouldn't stop hassling me, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
A good reason I love that. Oh, go on then.
I never talked to her. And then the bit that really got me, I thought I half liked her. And then I remember, right, we're at a school party, sort of infant school.
Infant school?
Right.
Are you sure it wasn't junior school?
Well, it's on the cusp.
Yeah.
Right, when you're about to leave infants and go to the next one.
Yeah.
And she was crying. Because
you were saying, I don't think we should move in together.
She was crying.
Had you stolen her milk?
She must have been nearly six. Why did she grow up?
No, so she was crying because somebody had stood on a dress and put a bit of an hole in it. And I said, oh, for God's sake.
I can't stand it.
So you gave her a slap.
I just think of him, like, six, like, with clogs and a flat cap, going slightly bald, going, for Christ's sake, woman, come on. Oh.
Light my pipe.
Oh. That finished it, because all her mates were saying, come on, Carl, she's upset, and I was like, oh, whatever.
Oh, God, no. Wait a minute. What do you mean all your mates were saying, like, come on, Carl? They were six, weren't they?
Yeah, but they were saying, come on, she's crying. Help her out.
And you did nothing?
She got injured.
Got a hole in her skirt.
Yeah, but she was upset and you were her boyfriend.
Well.
So what did you do? Tell me the story. Where were you?
Didn't work out.
You were at some kind of school do. There was a hole
in
her dress.
That's why it didn't work out, he said.
Do you treat your current girlfriend in the same way? This callous disregard for someone's feelings?
His current girlfriend does not tread on her dress. Does she?
Huh.
Oh, she didn't.
So, as far as you're concerned, what was her name? Sarah?
Zoe.
Zoe Harris. You just felt like, well, you know, she's going to make a whinge about, you know, a silly little hole. Screw her.
Yeah.
You're all heart, Carl.
What would you have done?
I'd have gone over there and give her a lovely kiss.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
We were playing dead arm.
Ask you another question.
Okay, very final thought then. What do you say to the fact that a judge who's decided that we, the general public, have a right to know about stars' flings? Basically, this is an excuse. This is basically saying, should papers be allowed to print tittle-tattle about celebrities?
Oh, this is...
Providing it's proven true.
Oh, this is something about, isn't it, a Division One football or something? It's definitely out of Premiership football, it's unfair. And it is true, but he's trying to keep privacy. And the judge said, well, it's not for us to censor the press over things that are true.
Right.
It's up to the general public to either boycott or not, you know, that publication.
What do you think, Carl? What about all this, you know, exposing, going through the, you know, the bins of celebrities?
It's not right, is it? But
no.
People are interested in it and buy the papers to read it, do you know what I mean? I mean, like I said to you the other week, everyone has a go at Beckham for not being that bright. But at the end of the day, he's a good footballer. Doesn't really matter what goes on off the pitch, does it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but what if you were a celebrity and they sort of splashed over the front page the fact that you just, you know, didn't care less for Zoe Harris and her torn dress?
Zoe Harris is still upset.
Yeah, they dug her out, you know. The night Carl Pilkington reduced me to tears.
Nah, I haven't done anything that bad.
Sure.
I wouldn't be worried.
Did you win the dead arm contest?
No. I was thinking about that the other day. Do you think there's a chance I could get blood clots in later life?
Did you play that a lot?
Yeah, a hell of a lot.
Did you ever do it but, like, kind of headbutting?
No.
Okay. Because that would have explained something.
Dead arms.
Sure.
Any more?
No, that's it, Carl.
It was with people's blessing, was it? You had to give them a go?
Yeah.
And you played it with girls?
No.
Alright.
Oh, and your mates.
Right.
So oh, you okay. were playing Dead Arms while she was off dancing and getting her hole ruined?
Yeah.
You romantic, you.
That's great. And you haven't changed a bit, have you? You still do that to this day, don't you? At functions and events. Oh dear. Oh, well, what track we got here? You've brought in a track.
Yes, history. I just thought I'd dig out some old Elliot Smith. I've quite enjoyed his work, and this was a previous single, and the first track from his album Figure Eight, Son of Sam.
XFM 104.9.
Sorry, I was going to back announce that track and just mention it was Elliot Smith and the track Son of Sam.
Well, I think I'd just better ask Carl a couple of quick questions about Hitler. Then we can you know, get on with our lives.
Okay, and we can tick that particular box.
Yeah, put that, Okay, Carl. Okay,
put that particular dictator to bed.
It's week three of his education. You've nailed Rasputin and Che Guevara. I don't want to lose complete sight of those. I'll maybe ask you a couple of those in the week just to see, keep your mind on it. But Hitler,
tell us the story.
What have you learned?
Do you want to ask some questions?
No, not really. Just sum it up in a minute. What do you think?
I can't do it in a minute.
Well, can I ask some questions then? Where was he born?
Austria.
Tell us about his early life.
Right, he was a young lad.
Brilliant.
What in his early life?
Okay. Yeah.
What's her name? His mam was his dad's second cousin, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
They had five kids.
He's going, yeah, it's usually first cousin where I come from. Oh, that's unfair, isn't it? Jeez, there's no need for that.
There was five kids, but only two of them, including Hitler, including him and his sister survived. The others died at an early age.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, so they grew up, and the mum died, and the dad died, and that, and he thought, oh, what am I going to do? Because he didn't do well at school, didn't have many qualifications.
No.
Liked art.
Did he have a GCSE in history?
Liked art, right, and then, so he said, right, I'm going to go to Munich. I missed a bit out, actually. Jewish people were in Austria, he didn't really like them.
Okay.
He thought they got, you know, special treatments and stuff, and just didn't like him. So he went to Munich, and he joined the army.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he was in the army, and he got injured.
Right.
So he went to hospital, and whilst he was in hospital, the World War One ended, and he was like, oh, God, I wouldn't
have... I was joining that.
Yeah, you know. So... Don't, because you're breaking the concentration.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm not even sure I want to join in on this one, just in case.
Okay.
Right, go on.
Right, so,
he's in hospital. World War.
It gets a bit better. He's never that fit, though. He's one of these blokes who was always ill. That was on something like 30 tablets a day or something. Comes out of there, joins some other army.
Right.
God, you know, I knew it all this morning.
I can see it running to ground. I just see his face going, I'm not nailing the fact, am I? And joined another army, and he was
starting. Let's try and help you.
Here's a good bit. I remember this bit. He thought that war to men, right, was like childbirth is to women. That's how important he thought he was.
Oh, right.
Right? So it's like, you know, you fight for 9 months, and at the end of it, you own something, right?
Yeah.
So, he goes on and all that. He's in Berlin.
Yeah.
And he's fighting his way through, like, you know, trying to take over countries and that. And he does do Berlin? Does he?
Sorry, wait a minute. Is he Chancellor yet?
What year is it? 35. So
let's skip the kind of climb to power. Then he's now the dictator of Germany.
Right, he's in charge. Yeah. And this is when, you know, he gets his own back on the Jewish people and that, and he's got his own little armies, and he's setting fire to Jewish businesses and all this. And, anyway, cut a long story short,
Please do.
When he came to, like, fighting Britain.
Yeah.
Came a bit sort of unstuck.
Yeah.
Right? Started fighting
Not
back.
So easy, is it, this world domination, Adolf?
Britain was there. France was helping out.
Yeah.
Americans were helping out.
Yeah.
So well, thought, oh god. So
a bit late, but yeah. Go
he
on.
He goes into a bunker in Berlin.
Yeah.
And it's all kicking off.
Yeah.
And apparently, like Germany, sort of surrenders.
Yeah.
Says it's all over. Forget it. We can't beat you. He was really annoyed with this, and he thought, oh, I can't show me face around here. So he,
because it would be embarrassing.
He's with his missus, who nobody knew was his wife.
Right.
Eva, in this bunker.
Yeah.
And, so he said, oh, I've had enough of this. He shoots himself.
Yeah.
She poisons herself. And the chauffeur buries him or something, or burns him.
Right.
And, in all the time he was in charge, 50 million people died.
So that's 1918 to 1945.
Yeah.
Between-
It felt like that.
Between Travis and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Next week. That's fantastic.
That's remarkable. I have to say that you sort of lost your grasp somewhere along the line, because you started off confidently, but you lost your way.
I've had a really busy week, and last night I was like whizzing through it.
Sure.
And then this morning I woke up and, you know, Suzanne had been away for about 3 days, right?
Yeah.
I hardly spoke to her. She's been busy, I've been busy. First thing to say when I wake up, oh, just ask me some stuff on Hitler.
You are romantic. That's great.
That's how stressful it's getting. But I knew it all this morning, honestly.
No, but that's fine. I think you've summed up the, you know, you've done that. Right, just for a bit of balance, I've got your next week's, homework. It's the same series, there's little books, there's tiny little books, just 3 inches long by 2 inches wide.
Crammed with so much information, though.
Winston Churchill. There you go. You'll enjoy that. Yeah?
I'm getting a bit bored now, though. This is what happened in school.
Think of the listeners.
Did really well in infants. Once got to secondary, lost interest.
Was it the breakup between you and Harris?
And Zoe. I'm wondering if you've spiralled into something there.
Yeah. Because it's like all these other, you know, these men of history. They always had sort of things happen in their early childhood, didn't they? Maybe yours is the Zoe Harris dress incident.
Well, let's just refer to it as the Zoe incident.
Yeah.
From now on. Yeah.
Winston Churchill, the bit I left out in the Hitler story, Hitler was scared of this man.
Yeah.
And I can tell you something else about Winston Churchill.
Go on.
He said he can remember being in the womb. And he was born in a public toilet.
Fly record. PJ Harvey, This Is Love, XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl. Carl called me in the week, Steve. I know we're sort of banned each other from speaking to him.
What, you seem to have just disobeyed that rule.
I can't believe it. I just can't resist it. But, he said, just saw a programme. He said, what's that big balloon that blew up? And the newsreader was going all mental. And I went, is that the Hindenburg? He went, yeah. Oh, I said it was a big Zeppelin. He went, yeah. He went, what happened? I said, it was helium, wasn't it? And I went, yeah. I said, it was a big, just a huge Zeppelin full of helium. And what caused us? I don't know. It could be a spark or anything, but of course it just goes, because it's helium so flammable. And he went, now they didn't show this in the documentary, but did all their voices go funny? And I went, what? He went, well, no, if you take a little bit of a little balloon of helium, your voice goes funny. So if that was, like, millions of gallons of it, and it blew up in the air, and you were, and it was in the atmosphere, you'd be carrying, you'd be talking like Donald Duck, he went. So, imagine that.
God.
What I liked about it, I said, this wasn't in the documentary.
No, it's an oversight. Maybe just time was against him, they didn't have time to explain.
Just like that book about Hitler didn't have his one ball incident.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Oh.
It's annoyed me, that.
What? What?
The old Hitler book.
Why?
Just because I knew it all. Do you know what I mean? I was cycling in today. I was like, yeah, going through it all again.
Yeah.
Had it all in my head.
But that's why you should know something as opposed to just cram and have a piece of trivia that's precariously sort of teetering on the edge.
But what I don't understand,
you know what I mean?
Well, you're not interested by it.
That's what I mean.
It's one of the most fascinating things.
You know all about things you're interested in. You never forget them, do you? You know?
Yeah, I was a bit interested in it, but like I say, I mean, I'm cramming all this into a normal week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go on and, you know, you watch telly and that in the week, you've got loads of leisurely time. I'm sort of using the only little bit of rest time I have to learn, as well as try to do all my other stuff.
He texted me yesterday about Hitler. He went, stop making me read this heavy shit. He said, I've seen in the back of this book, there's one on Elvis.
No, I mean, it is. It is interesting, but not when you have to read it, do you know what I mean?
Right. It's but do you think you'd have read it in your leisure time?
To be honest?
No, you wouldn't have.
No, I wouldn't.
No. No,
what do you do in your leisure time?
I like, you know, going out for food and that.
Right. Foraging. What do you mean going out for food? They can have a little hole and go
hunting.
Yeah. This is Carl. He's hungry. He knows he has to get to the greasy spoon by 11.
Many of Carl's close friends have never made it across this road.
There is a zebra crossing installed just for the safety of Carl. Beep, 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 beep. Can I have a bacon butty and... Carl is enjoying his... Wow, but he has to get back.
His girlfriend's asked for one as well. She's home with a PlayStation 2.
Wow.
Alright, Rick. It was David Bowie impressions earlier. Now it's just a selection of crazy sound effects like that guy in Police Academy.
You said you wanted some. He hasn't got time to make them up. He's reading about Hitler. You heard him.
Do a machine gun or a helicopter.
We've got to do all our own sound effects. Oh. So do you want a week off? Do you not want to learn about Winston Churchill? Why don't you read it if you want to, and just if you get interested, then read on. I think that's
because that's what I did with school and it didn't work.
No, you decided you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So but hasn't that taught you something?
Can't we just do it like a TV series? It doesn't go on forever. We've done 3 weeks. Give it a rest now for the summer.
Yeah, because most series last for 3 weeks.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favourite subject in the world? What's your favourite thing in the world?
I would have said, what, at school, like?
No, just in life. What are you interested in?
I like little interesting bits, like,
sentences.
Atlantic Ocean. It's got 17 quadrillion gallons of water in it.
Right.
Well, that's interesting without having to read a book.
Why is that interesting, though? What are you basing that on? When you think of 17 quadrillion...
It's a lot,
what,
isn't it?
What are you imagining?
Just like a big wave. Imagine how much water.
Yeah.
Well, what's your subject, then?
I don't know. No, it's just that Wilson, what's your favourite subject? You gave me a fact that is so...
that sort of thing. Like I said to you before, you were talking about monkeys. And I said, do you know that if you give a monkey a childbirth tablet, it works on it the same way because it's kitted out the same.
Could I just say something? We weren't talking about monkeys.
What were we talking about then?
No, we were talking about something completely different and you went, if you give a monkey a childbirth bill, it works. That's what you said.
No, we were talking about monkeys.
We were talking about sneezing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you went, if you give a monkey childbirth pills, it works. That's...
Well, we're talking about interesting things about sneezing, and I remembered an interesting fact about monkeys. So...
Anyway, half past two, brilliant. What did happen to that bloke who used to make the sound effects in Police Academy?
I don't know.
He was brilliant, wasn't he? Do you remember him?
I don't remember
him. Was he called Hightower?
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah?
If anyone knows, give us a call.
God.
girls and boys.
You've embarrassed yourself then, Gervais.
What?
Well, we've had a number of calls and emails.
Yeah.
Pointing out that the Hindenburg disaster was not because the Zeppelin was filled with helium.
Hydrogen.
But filled with hydrogen.
Right, okay. Well, I thought about that when he told me in the week.
Yeah, but
I assumed he must have got that off from the documentary. So it just went up. So that's probably why... The voices didn't go
through. That was probably why it didn't feature in the documentary.
Yeah.
But it seems to me we should have thought of that. I mean, like, it's school fates and stuff where they're, like, filling little balloons with helium.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be all kinds of horror stories if they were just, you know, just blowing up, you know, left, right and centre. I don't think you can just blow helium up like that, can you?
What?
Isn't that the point? What I'm saying is it can't be as potentially lethal as hydrogen. Helium.
What, hydrogen isn't as bad as helium?
No, helium's not as bad as hydrogen.
I don't know what you're saying, because the Hindenburg was hydrogen.
Yeah, and I'm saying, why did we think it was helium? That's crazy. You go to fates, school fates and stuff with, like, little kids, and they're filling up little balloons with helium. They wouldn't have big canisters of helium, you know, a charity event or, a small kind of bring and buy sale if it was deadly.
Yeah, but it's not as big. I mean, when you buy those balloons at a fair, it's not as big as that big.
But presumably
balloon.
It's still flammable, is it?
But it wasn't the fact how dangerous the rare gas was, or it was the fact that, it was made of this thing that caught fire and just went, there was nothing
a hole in it would have been as bad. It just burnt quickly and fell to the ground because the hydrogen or helium escaped. It was irrelevant that what the gas was, wasn't it?
I thought there was supposed to be some kind of explosion.
Well, I don't know what it was, but the point is because the outer thing was so thin, right? The gas inside escaped and it fell to the ground.
So it just fell to the ground like when you've popped a balloon.
Mm. Well, not
quite. It didn't
quite.
Sort of go.
It didn't like flap all over the place and make a zany noise.
But I tell you what, because when I was looking on the internet in the week for it, I was like trying to get a bit more info on it. Guess how many balloons it would take, helium balloons, to lift a human up?
Go on.
6,000.
Should we do it?
If you want.
Brilliant. Next week, that's got to be a challenge.
Is there a sort of balloon company or some sort of, you know, party company that are willing to sponsor us to lift Carl
into the air right, with helium balloons?
10 feet off the ground, we're tethering him down, right? Is there someone willing to pay for 6,000 balloons to try and lift
Carl? We can maybe get some kind of company to sponsor it. I'm thinking like Electrolux, if they're going to sponsor puddings.
If they're going to sponsor puddings, you know, and, celebrities, Russ Abbott, they will sponsor Carl being lifted. Heat magazine, come on. They're big selling, very successful magazine there, and they've know about Carl, because they've mentioned him. Heat magazine, can we have a heat balloon? Yeah? Oh,
6,000's an awful
into
lot,
the
Rick.
Air. Six, yeah. It's the heat 6,000 Carl challenge. Lift Carl 10 feet into the air.
Yeah.
Come on.
What about if it was Carl and Dr. Fox? We could get two different balloons.
I think we need a lot more than 6,000.
A lot more from Fox, isn't it?
Mix, yeah. The heights. Well, I just explained what I'm laughing at. Right, we just had a call from someone saying his company would sponsor Carl, right, to be raised by all these balloons if he could have a walk-on part in the office. And, we immediately went, oh, we're worried about that sort of thing. You can't really promise that artistically. You know? And I was worried about the legality of it as well. How can you promise someone that for personal gain that's a private, and all that sort of stuff, right? And I went, oh, I don't know. And anyway, put the phone down to him, and Carl went, I love the fact you're more effing worried about that than me being raised 30 feet in the effing air. you started getting scared, did you? Are you worried about it?
Well, you're quite excited about the idea of the challenge, though, aren't you?
I like the idea, but I want, like...
Why do you like the idea, Carl?
Oh, what if it went all wrong and we're there going, oh, the humanity of it!
I think we need
Carl
to get...
Carl is just... He's just... turned...
And the rope would pull out my trousers.
Oh, no, it's definitely got to be Dr. Fox if that's going to happen.
Oh, God! Oh, we've got to do this!
So hang on, but let's just think about the because wait a minute, we say this, but we'd have to get all kinds of health and safety people involved.
No, we wouldn't.
Of course we can't just start raising you in the air.
No, you're allowed to do it on private land, aren't you?
Look what happened to the Hindenburg!
No, but there was lots of people died. Listen, look, all we do is we get someone right.
But what if he gets loose and he just floats off into the air?
And he meets his magpie that he lost. He used to peck his grifter. Listen, we've got to do this.
No, but
please.
Shut up a minute. Let's just stop and think about it. It's 60,000
balloons. It's 6,000.
But 6,000 balloons, that's a lot of balloons.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Be silly.
For sponsorship, people pay for... no, listen, it's worth it. There must be a company out there that are paying for this, just so we can film
Hang
it.
Hang on, is there not an easier way of just getting one big balloon? Then the challenge is no challenge. Then.
No, it's got to be... It's got our people coming up and hooking balloons. It'd be like Buckaroo. And the person who puts the balloon that actually raises him 10 feet wins a prize or something.
So hang on, so what we've got each person with like 500 balloons.
Yeah.
That's mad, can you imagine how many balloons that is? That's ludicrous.
6,000, yeah.
That's an awful lot of balloons.
I don't know, there must be someone that could do this. Oh look, people have walked on the moon for Christ's sake, we can raise Carl Pilkington with some balloons.
Yes, but they had a NASA budget, we've got XFM behind us.
Yeah, but balloons,
yeah.
Balloons are cheap. You can get about a pack of 25 for about 150.
Right, fine.
No,
true.
Yeah, the helium though, Carl. You can't just like attach yourself to a pack of balloons.
No, but...
What, you think we blow them all up?
With helium.
Right.
Oh.
Off you go.
But then we can do something with the balloons, can't we? Like, release them afterwards.
Oh, well, release them back into the wild. Brilliant. As a sign of peace. Fly, my British fly, listen, be free.
I am so excited. I have not been so excited about, and when I thought that Robin Ince was going to stay in my cupboard for £1,000. Look, we've got to do
6,000 balloons. I don't think it's going to happen. That's an awful lot of balloons. And I just don't think, I don't see how we can tether them all to Carl. He's a small man.
No, but because you have that different lengths, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Carl knows.
Can you think about the logistics of this?
Oh, someone must know. There must be a company. There's a bloke willing to do it. I know he doesn't know the technology of it. He's willing to sort of stand by.
And so a company just come on, has access to helium like that.
No, we can do this. Come on. London. And someone's done Londoners.
It. It was on the internet already, so someone obviously has done it.
Yeah.
So they didn't say, oh, we can't get all the balloons.
No, they probably worked it out, didn't they?
Carl, you're more excited about this than anything else, about your education, about your exam results. You're so excited.
And we'll have a little rope. We'll be like flying a little kite, a little Carl. We're like, let's go fly.
Carl, what will you wear? Like a one-piece jumpsuit?
Yeah, every number.
With sponsorship all over it?
Oh, it'd be great. You look like Jackie Stewart, and just as you go up your little face, oh my god, I'm not gonna sleep until this is done. This is the most exciting thing ever.
Only 10 feet.
10 feet, yeah.
We'd need some kind of rope to sort of tether you to the ground. Yeah. We don't want you sort of flying off.
This is gonna be great. And you'd have a little crash helmet and everything, and little Deedy Boppers on the crash helmet, like it's a little flying ant.
Definitely.
We give him a little, oh my god, can we give you an outfit, like little wings and everything?
Can we paint your face with, like, children's paint?
No, I'm not doing all that.
Why?
Oh, because that would be silly.
Oh, please, Carl. Do this. Do it. We'll do it for charity. We'll do it for charity, yeah?
Right.
Yeah? Oh, this is
brilliant. We'll do it for children in need.
Please, just phone in if you can help us. Lift Carl up 30 feet. Let's say 30 feet.
I think it has to be a decent...
Yeah, it has to be a decent
height. Is there a world record? Because we want to break that if we're going
to break that. What is the world record for raising a man by balloons?
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, let's just finalise details here. We've got,
I'm so excited.
Email address, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk. Yeah. ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
What's the number? What's the number?
The number, Carl?
08700-800-1234.
Lift Carl.
08700-800-1234.
Sponsored by Heat Magazine
and
or something.
Maybe
like.
Even if you've just got an idea about how we might be able to organise it, how we're able to get it done, if you've got contacts, anything, just get in touch, give us some information.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm gonna play a Beatles track for song for the... For the lovers.
Oh, man.
It's off the Help album, and it's, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. Oh, just think of his little face as he goes,
Can you tell it on us?
Well, XFM, it's nearly the end of the show. I'm Ricky Gervais with me, Steve Merchant. We've enjoyed your company. Carl, we're going to try and get Carl in the air. Anyone that can help us, take him up with helium balloons. Our friend Johnny Mango called again. And apparently the record's 11,000 feet. Carl is getting a little bit nervous.
Yeah, the world record is 11,631 feet raised by hot air balloons.
How tall's Canary Wharf?
It's 11,631 feet. Exactly. I don't know, Carl.
Is it how much higher?
It's a long way.
More.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Because I'm like 6 foot something.
Yeah, think of that. Just look at Steve.
All right.
Yeah.
But you can change a record. You could say, well, the sort of balloons are the one with Mickey Mouse on it or something.
Yeah, could I just say something? That man did 11,000 feet, but he wasn't naked. All right?
Come on, Carl.
You'll be the... Your 30 feet will be the world record for naked ballooning. Yeah?
Mm.
Think about it.
All right, it's for charity.
Well, thank you for listening, everyone. We are going to raise Carl. We are going to raise Carl. And after Carl said, and just to think, my teacher said I'd never be a high flyer. So this is your chance, Carl, to shine, to fly.
Steve.
It'll be brilliant. This is a final song for the ladies. Belle and Sebastian, we've not heard them for a while. This is from, it's actually a B-side or a triple side or whatever you call it. Track 3 on a single called Jonathan David. This is The Beautiful, The Loneliness of the Middle Distance Runner.
Goodbye.